Our growth in Christ often comes through God-ordained difficult circumstances. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Well, hello again. This is Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know, and we have been talking about the life of Joseph, a very important man in the Old Testament, and certainly one whose life exemplified, I think, what it really means to be a Christian in many ways. And he is also a type of Christ, as we discussed previously. Now, Genesis 39:27 tells us this: the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made him succeed. You know, I find that real interesting. We already learned that Joseph was on the receiving end of his brother's wrath. Originally, they wanted to kill him, but they settled for selling him to a group of Ishmaelites that were traveling through on their way to, apparently, Egypt. He, as a slave, was then brought to Egypt and sold into slavery to Potiphar. And we know that everything went well with Potiphar while Joseph was there for a time, until Potiphar's wife made advances on Joseph, advances that he ultimately rejected. And because of that, she basically turned the tables on him and accused him of trying to rape her. For that, he was sent to prison. And I also mentioned that Potiphar could have easily, without any difficulty at all, killed Joseph or had him executed. But instead, he just turned him over to prison. He washed his hands of Joseph. Now, here he is in prison, and I'm sure, you know, this must have been such a low point in Joseph's life. I mean, he went from the fire, from the frying pan to the fire, and then from the fire to the blazing inferno. And what it left him with was probably wondering where God was in all of this, or in any of this. And the most interesting thing about Joseph and his situation is how far down the Lord brought him in order to bring him up, to raise him up. You know, it reminds me of the passage that says, "Humble yourselves before God, and in due time he will lift you up." Of course, this was the plan. Simply because God knew that Joseph needed to be fully humbled before he would be ready for God to use. God's plan for Joseph was big. He was bringing him along, teaching him lessons, strengthening his commitment to God until that time when he would be ready to be used of God for far greater things. Now, of course, Joseph really wasn't aware of this, was he? By all standards, it was huge, and if Joseph did not have the proper attitude for what God would have for him, an understanding of his own sin nature, his human frailty, and his tendency to exalt himself through his ego, he would fail God, and he would fail miserably. God ensured that this did not happen, and he did so by putting Joseph in one situation after another where his very will and ego would be stretched beyond what seemed like limit. Through the very difficult trials of his life, Joseph was blessed by God with something far more valuable than physical riches. God blessed Joseph with wisdom, common sense, an ability to rein in his ego, and a desire for nothing but righteousness. And you know what? God is doing the same thing with every one of his children, regardless of our basic calling in life. That's what he's doing for all of us. He wants and expects us to lean on him heavily for his wisdom, for common sense, and for an ability to override our ego, and ultimately with a strong, strong desire to live righteously before God. That's what he wants for every one of his children. Joseph went through a metamorphosis, and every Christian goes through a similar metamorphosis. Now, because the attributes that God grew within Joseph, when he became ultimately the second in command over all of Egypt, answering only to Pharaoh, the one thing that did not happen within Joseph was that all of it went to his head. He did not become enamored with his position or his rank, because by that time he knew who was in charge of his life. He knew beyond doubt that where he had come to in life, he had come purely by God's design and by his grace. Joseph knew that the gifts he had were given to him by God, and because of that, he had no right to boast in these gifts or misuse them. That wasn't the way it was when he originally realized that he had these gifts. Now, since God provided the gift of being able to dream dreams and interpret them, then it became obvious to Joseph that this gift was to be used not for his own glory in holding it over the heads of his parents and brothers. It was a gift which was to be used for God's glory and God's glory only. It was a form of prophetic ministry of what was to come. During the time Joseph remained locked in prison, the prison keeper began to see Joseph as someone who was not at all like the other prisoners. God had caused the prison keeper to see Joseph in a favored light. Was this due to Joseph? No, it was obviously due to God's own purposes in and through Joseph. He was going to bring certain things to fruition in and through Joseph, and that was that. It was because of this that God brought Joseph into favor with the prison keeper, not because of Joseph, but because of God, of what God wanted to do through Joseph. Now, the prison keeper came to the point of placing so much trust in Joseph that, as I read previously in Genesis 39:27, he didn't worry. Or as the text says, he paid no attention to anything that was under Joseph's care. This is not something that occurs unless God's hand is involved in the situation. Think about it. The prison keeper had absolutely no reason to trust Joseph at all. He was simply a prisoner. He had done something wrong that necessitated his being locked away from freedom. Now, like the others who were incarcerated, as far as the prison keeper was concerned, they were there for a reason. The reason was they had apparently broken some law. Prison was their natural reward. The only reason Joseph would have stood out among all the prisoners was due to God's hand on his life. This is why Joseph came across favorably to the prisoner and the prison keeper. It seems that from the biblical text, in short order, Joseph was virtually running the prison. The same scenario occurred when Joseph had been in Potiphar's house. He entered as a slave, virtually owned and imprisoned by someone else, being told what to do and expected to do it with severe repercussions if he didn't do it. And before he left Potiphar's house, he was literally second in command. You know, it is tempting for us to see situations in our life that we don't understand. And because we don't understand them, we tend to want to respond in anger because of them. Obviously, when we do this, we're not trusting. If we're complaining to God, we are not seeing the fact that God causes all things to work for our good, for his glory. Our inability to accept certain situations. And again, we are talking about situations that simply occur through no fault of our own necessarily from God. And that keeps us growing in our faith. Again, I will refer to the most recent election when it first dawned on me that Mr. Obama had been reelected. I will admit to some frustration bordering on anger, and I had more than a few questions for God. Since the election, there have been many reports of alleged voter fraud in places like Philadelphia and other places in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, etc. But you know, in spite of all this, God is in charge of the situation. God could have easily overrided any of the alleged incidents of voter fraud. He chose not to, in spite of the fact that his children were praying for those things, that God would override voter fraud, keep it at bay, that God would take Mr. Obama out of office, replacing him with someone else. God chose not to do that. And my complaining to God proved to me that I was not trusting him. I wasn't trusting him. And I had to get over that. I had to get to a point of realizing that God is either fully in charge of all outcomes, or he is not at all in charge. Well, God gave Joseph a gift. He soon learned that this gift was only to be used for one purpose, bringing glory to God. It wasn't supposed to shine the light on Joseph. He wasn't supposed to use it to cast aspersions on his family members or anyone else. It was because of the potential to misuse that gift that Joseph found himself in hot water with his family. In spite of this, though, God's will was fully accomplished in and through Joseph, in spite of the way it looked to him, as terrible as it was. Though his brothers meant him harm, Joseph's situation was truly ordained by God to bring him to greater heights spiritually, and so that God would be able to work more freely in and through Joseph. Now, in spite of being sold into slavery, the Lord blessed Joseph. Potiphar viewed Joseph favorably and gave him tremendous responsibility because of it. What Joseph, of course, did not realize at the time was that he was being trained for a far greater mission, a mission in which the entire nation of Israel would be brought to fruition eventually through him and his brothers, and in spite of the famine, and given great rewards upon their exit from Egypt. This is God working to accomplish what he sets out to accomplish. We see a change in Joseph from the time he bragged about his brothers, mother, and father, one day bowing to him, until he arrived at the point where he had obviously given his life to God. This is exactly what Paul means, I believe, in Philippians 1:6, when he says this, quote, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ," unquote. Can I say with Paul that we are confident that God will continue to do that good work in us until the day we stand before Jesus? If he has bought us and we have received his salvation so that we are no longer our own but his, then how could it be otherwise, in spite of what circumstances may seem to want to tell us? During these times, when we don't really know God's will ahead of time, it is very easy to become discouraged when something happens that doesn't seem to be what we thought God's will was going to be. This is exactly what happened in Joseph's life, and through these trials that God sent Joseph's way, Joseph learned the meaning of faith. How does that work for you? What has transpired in your life recently that you have questioned God about, that you have felt that he wasn't doing what you thought he should be doing? And how has that worked out for you? Again, I'll go back to the election because it is the freshest thing in my mind and most recent. I was frustrated. I was to the point of being angry. I directed some questions to God, and mainly the question was, why did you allow this to happen? Well, it took me a little bit of one day to realize that God is in charge. He is in charge of all outcomes. Even though we do not see the end from the beginning, we see the beginning, we see what's happening now, but we don't see, in many cases, the end until it's revealed to us. And our reaction to that end determines and shows us our commitment and loyalty to God. Does it take us by surprise? Do we want to complain? Or do we want to do what Job did when he lost his children? What was his reaction? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God was in charge of Job's life. Didn't seem like it, but God was in charge of it. And at that time, Job had no idea what the arrangement was between God and Satan. Well, that's our show for today. Thank you for joining me. And I pray that until we meet next time, God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.